Good morning. I want to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. We're going to open our service this morning with the hymn, "To God Be the Glory." So if you could stand and join in with us, "To God Be the Glory." Good to see everyone this morning.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done. Rejoicing through Jesus the Son, the purer and higher and greater will be a wonder, a transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Great things He hath done. Good to see everyone again. As I mentioned this morning, if we have any visitors, welcome to our service this morning. Turn and greet each other this morning. Good to see everyone.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. We're glad that you're here and that you came to worship with us today. I'll be preaching today from Psalm 37, so we'll be looking at Psalm 37 this morning. I'm glad that you're here with us. One announcement I'd like to make, the deacons will not meet today, so let's keep that in mind and make a note of that. Deacons will not meet this afternoon. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for this time that You've given us. We pray today that as we gather together, that we would lift You up. We thank You that You've given us this opportunity to be here, and I pray that we'd open our hearts to Your will for our lives today as we worship together. In Your name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just make note of the announcements that's in your bulletin this morning. There is a announcement there about the foreign mission trip we have planned. Those that are going on that, the details of that trip are listed there. So just take note of that. If you'd like more information, you can see me after church, and I'll be glad to give you that information. We're going to sing two very familiar songs, "The Unclouded Day" and "In the Sweet By and By." I'm sure some that you know very well. So you can join in with us as we sing this morning.
Mm-hmm. smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Shall be on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Great songs about our eternal home in heaven one day. We're going to sing now about God's love for us, and through that love we know we have that home in heaven. So two songs you're very familiar with. Would ask that you stand with us on the first one. How marvelous is His love for us. I stand amazed in the presence. We'll let you sit on the second one.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Sinner condemned, unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior. Love for me.
Is his love for us, and what a friend we have in Jesus.
Discovery.
Father, I pray that we would learn to give everything to you. You are all those words in that song and even more. We thank you for the love you have for us that we sang about. We thank you for the eternal home for those who have put their trust in you. We thank you for the hope that we have of heaven and the sureness we have of your love for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Psalm 37, 7 through 9 is what we'll be looking today. We do have the love offering box over here, and so if you'd like to help with a love offering for the trip to Honduras, we'll have the box over here for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So just pray about that, and we want to support these people as they take this trip to Honduras. So that'll be our opportunity to do that. I do want to welcome our Facebook people today, and also YouTube, and those who listen with the radio, we welcome you today. What I've been doing since the first of the year is just taking different subjects and talking about those subjects. And basically the reason I got into that was that I was thinking about, well, where am I in my life? And maybe some of these things that I've talked about and preached about will help you along the way. So we've talked about things like surrender. We've talked about things like struggle. And so today, I want to talk about another word, and that is patience. And so we'll be talking about patience this morning. I was listening one time to the show, and it was talking about patience. And they asked this guy, they said, have you ever been in a situation where you've had to decide between murder and patience? And I don't know if you've been there or not, but I'm sure that we all have our patience tried at times. Patience is a great virtue, and it's a virtue that is taught in the Bible, and we'll be talking about that more as we get into this. But in Psalm 37, we see here David's words, and David understood the need for patience here in this psalm. Psalm 37 in verse 7 is where I want to begin reading. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. One of the commentators I read on this passage took these verses and he gave a definition of patience. And I think this is a great definition of patience. Listen to it here. Patience is the willingness to respond to irritating circumstances with love, grace, and kindness, as you wait on the Lord to guide you and how to handle a situation. And I thought that was a great way to describe patience and give a definition of patience. And certainly these verses here speak to that I've read. So with that backdrop in mind, what I want to do today is to talk to you about patience and what the Bible has to say about that. Now, first of all, the first point we're going to talk about here is that problems will try your patience. Now, we've all heard about the patience of Job. You know, Job is one of the most difficult books in the Bible to understand. And the reason Job is so difficult to understand is because it deals with the question of suffering and why things happen like they do and all that. A lot of times, you know, the mistake we make is, you know, we put a lot of focus on the front of the book of Job, and we should do that. But really, the answer comes to us in the latter part of Job when we talk about things about patience and why things happen and problems that we have. But you just think about Job. He lost his cattle. He lost his livestock. He lost his material possessions. He lost his children. He lost his grandkids. I mean, he had a lot going against him. But he stayed faithful to God all the way through it. So when we think about problems, we need to think about problems in light of Scripture and what those problems can produce in our life. We don't need to let them defeat us. We don't need to let them, you know, keep us discouraged. But we need to let these things, you know, have their course. Someone said it this way, that problems are not tools to tear you down, but they are tools to test you and to build you up. And I think that's a good statement about it. Job 42, you come to the end of the book of Job, and here's what Job said in verse 1 of Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. And he can. God can do everything. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I averted what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In essence, what Job is saying there is this. He's saying, I have learned things about God that I would not have learned if I didn't go through the problems that I went through. All the things that you read about Job in Job chapter 1, and all those things that happened and all the problems that came against him, Job said, what that did is it taught me about God, and it gave me a more deeper understanding of my relationship with God, and that's what problems will do. So the time to, there's times in life where we really need to be patient. There's times in life when through patience God will draw us close to Him, and God will help us in those times to help have our understanding of Him deepen. Someone said it this way, that every trial is a test. Every difficulty is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do what? Well, it's an opportunity to trust God. It's an opportunity to believe God. It's an opportunity to hear from God. It's an opportunity to experience God in a deeper way, and for Him to show us through patience how we need to handle the problem that we're facing. So we need to be patient with it. That's exactly what David is saying here. Just be patient in the situation. I know in our class, Jim taught our class today, and we began a study in the life of Joseph. And that's what we learned about Joseph. And some of you studied that same lesson. You know, it didn't, you know, the way it started with Joseph was in a bad way, but through all of it, he had to learn patience. And eventually, you know, he had the outcome that was a good outcome in his life. But it was all that came upon him because of the problems that he faced in life. So problems will test our patience. But another thing will test our patience, the second thing, is people. People will test our patience. James 5, 7 through 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. And the word patient there refers to situations with people. That's what the word patience means there. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. It's not talking about circumstance. It's not talking about problems, but it's talking about relationships with people. So the emphasis there is on people. Now, the Bible tells us that we need to have patience with all people. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us that. You know, with all people, we're to be patient toward everyone. And so we know this can be trying at times. We understand that. We know the difficulties that come from that. So it's interesting, though, the way James illustrates the truth about patience with people is to talk about a farmer. And some of you farm, and you know what farming's all about, it takes a lot of patience to be a good farmer, because a lot of things are out of your control. You can do all you need to do in preparing the land, and planting the seed and all that kind of thing, and then you just have to wait and be patient. You've got to wait for the rain, as James says here. You just got to wait on God for His timing to bring these things about. So that's what we do. We have patience, and we just wait on God, and we trust Him, is what the Bible says. So James goes on to say, in verse 9, he says, "Do not grumble. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." I don't know if you've seen this bumper sticker, but it used to be very popular, bumper sticker. But the bumper sticker said this: "Be patient with me, because the Lord isn't finished with me yet." And that's where we need to go with this attitude. God is, we all need to be patient with each other. And God is still working on us. He's working in my life, working in your life. And so what He wants here, He wants us to be patient. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Being patient doesn't mean that sometimes that there's not a cause to be angry. Because, there is. But what it means is we just be patient. And whatever the situation is that's causing the heat, that's causing the problem, then we let God handle that. And we let God deal with it in His way. That's what James is telling us here. So it simply means this. It means that we're slow to anger and we're just quick to get rid of it. And say, "Okay, God, we turn this over to You," and there it is. So what we know, though, is this, that it can be hard at times. We know that, and we know it can be difficult at times. I was studying for this message, and I thought I'd like to get a good illustration of what I'm trying to say here. And I found this illustration in this book, and it's talking about years ago during the Korean War, how that these soldiers had hired a local Korean young man to take care of the house that they had rented. These soldiers had rented this house. And so his responsibilities was do the cooking, do the cleaning, and the washing and all that kind of thing. But what these soldiers did, they started playing tricks on this young man. And they'd do stuff like they'd nail his shoes to the floor, and they'd take glue and they'd glue the cabinet doors, shut so he couldn't open the cabinet doors. They'd take, kind of container of water, put it over a door. When he opened the door, then the water would, go on him. So they're doing all this stuff to him. And so they kind of got to feeling bad about doing all that stuff to him. And so one day they all got together and they said, "We've decided that we're not going to play any more tricks on you. We're not going to do it anymore." And he said, "Really? You're not going to nail my shoes to the floor and pour water on me and glue the door shut?" And I said, "No, we're not going to do that anymore." He said, "Well, I'm not going to spit in your food anymore either." So that's just a silly illustration about how, things happen and how things come around. But I thought that was a good way to illustrate it. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Love is patient. Love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not puffed up. So love is patience with people," is what the Bible is telling us. Now, the only way that we'll ever learn to be patient with people is this way, is through love. The only way that we'll learn to be patient with people is to love them. And that's what the Bible is saying, and that's what the Bible is teaching us. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us, "Be patient with everyone." Everyone would have this love and patience for it. So patience, forgiveness, acts of goodness prevail between all people. And that's where God wants us to be. Another thing about patience is this, the third truth. is that persistence will toughen your patience. To put it another way, we all deal with difficult circumstances. We all deal with difficult people. We all do that. And so through those things in life that come our way, then what God wants to do, He wants to grow us and He wants to mature us. So that's what's going on. He wants us to be there. James, again, James 1, 3 and 4, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance. And so that's what He wants. He wants persistence. He wants perseverance in our life. And let perseverance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect, mature, so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. So that is the outcome of it. And that's where He wants us to be. Think about it this way. The word trials in verse 2 of James, what it means is, it means this. It means something that connotes trouble, something that breaks the pattern of peace, of comfort, of joy, of happiness in one's life. And so these trials in life come. But what God can do through those trials of life, though, He can mature us and He can grow us. What it does is deepen our faith. And it brings us to a point where we trust in Him more. Because these situations, many times, they're out of our control. And they're out of our hands. So that's why we need patience. We need patience. So do we know why patience is so difficult? Do we know why it is? Well, the reason patience is so difficult for all of us is this. That it involves waiting. We've got to wait. And, you know, we've got to wait on the Lord and wait on His timing and wait on what He is going to do. So, you know, we would just rather do anything but wait. But what David says here, he says we need to wait on the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Just relax. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. See, David was, he was having a difficulty here understanding things while things were going the way that they were going. Verse 8, do not fret. He said, just be patient and wait on the Lord. I ran across this illustration that I liked that I wanted to share with you. And again, it's talking about waiting. But in 1997, I don't know if you all eat Jell-O or not, but you know, it used to be a real big deal. But in 1997, Jell-O celebrated its 100th anniversary. And I think it was in 1897 is when Jell-O was invented. And the man who invented Jell-O, his name His first name was Pearly, and his last name was Waite. Pearly Waite was a man who invented Jell-O. But he sold the rights to Jell-O for $450. He couldn't wait. He got impatient. He saw $450, and he sold the rights to Jell-O. And, of course, today it's just, you know, it's a multi-million-dollar business. But what that illustration tells us is, you know, we got to wait. We got to be patient. We got to let God work. We got to follow Him. We got to listen to Him and know what, you know His will in these situations. So God knows how to wait. He really does. And He wants us to wait. You know, the greatest example of patience is the example of Jesus. And Paul says that what we need to learn is the example of the patience of Jesus Christ. Paul said the patience that he had with me. And I think about that and I think about the patience that the Lord has with me. And what a great example, you know, he's given us in patience. And so we follow his examples. In the book of Galatians, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What the fruit of the Spirit is, it's really the characteristic or the attitude of the Holy Spirit in one's life, of the fruit of the Spirit. And so in that chapter in Galatians, what the Bible talks about are nine characteristics, are nine attitudes of one who, you know, is following the Spirit of God and letting God lead him or her. And patience is one of those. And he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things are part of that. And so we need to have patience in our surrender, in our struggle, and patience. All these things are things that, you know, we deal with. And what I'm praying for is for patience. God, give me patience. God, I want you to work this. I want you to work this out. I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to trust in you. And the whole thing is just trusting in God. Trusting in God, and the verse that we quote so many times, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. For those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose, we trust Him. That's where our faith is and where our patience is. I want to close with this verse in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promises, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but all come to repentance. Now, most of you today have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you followed Him. But if you haven't done that, I want you to know the Lord is waiting on you. The Bible tells us here in Peter that He's not willing that any should perish. And you know why He's waiting? He's waiting on for that next one to be saved, that next one to be saved, and that next one to come to Him. So the Lord is willing to save. And He wants to save. But now here's the warning. There's a warning with this too. One day that door closes. One day that opportunity is gone. And we need to understand that. But today, He's being patient. He's giving you this opportunity to trust Him, to put your faith in Him. And if you've never done that, then you need to take that step today to do that. We all need patience. And we need God's help with this, and He will help us with patience to help us wait on Him. So let's wait on the Lord and put our faith and trust in Him. Let's stand, please. Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for this time that You've given to us. And Lord, when we think about this topic today, certainly we think about the people in the Bible, people like Job, and all that he went through, and all the struggle that he had. And yet, Lord, here's a man who gives us an example of patience. But, Lord, we come to You, and we look at Your patience. And we look at Your example of patience with people, with us. And we thank You for that. And, Lord, today we know that You're willing to save, and You want to save. Father, we just pray today that there'd be those who would come and put their faith and trust in You. As we think about David today and this psalm that we've talked about, David tells us that what we need to do is just relax, to rest, and to wait upon You. And Lord, those things in life that are beyond our control, we bring those to You today. Father, we need Your patience. We need You to help us with patience. So many times we want to try to control things and we just get ahead of You and we really get into situations that really make things worse a lot of times. And Father, help us not to do that. But just help us to wait on You and to have patience and to put our faith and trust in You in the things of life that we face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am with
Being here today, and just remember the announcement, the deacons will not meet today, so deacons, we're not going to meet today. Go this week in God's love and go in His grace, and just pray for patience, and the Lord will help you with that. He surely will. So the praise team will come, and they'll dismiss us in our benedictional course.
We're going to sing about His love for us as we dismiss. Oh, how He loves you and me. You sing with us.
Oh, how He loves you and me.
You're dismissed.